It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Last week, Wisconsin's Natural Resources Board approved the Department of Natural Resources' new wolf management plan for Wisconsin. The DNR's previous plan had a population goal of 350 wolves in the state. Wisconsin now has almost 1,000 wolves, and the new plan sets a range from 800 to 1,200 wolves in the state. The decision comes after opposition from legislative Republicans that included rejecting several appointees on the Natural Resources Board. We're talking about Wisconsin's new wolf management plan. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have thoughts on the DNR's new wolf management plan? Do you have questions about it? Are there changes you'd like to see made one way or another? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Randy Johnson is a large carnivore specialist for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Randy, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Let's take a look at the current or the last wolf management plan. What has been in place, Randy, now for some years here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, we've had a management plan for wolves in place actually going back to the 1980s, but the most recent iteration was first written and approved in 1999. It got a small overhaul in the late 2000s, but much of that plan was really focused on wolf recovery in the state and trying to bring back this native species that had been extirpated in the 1900s. And so much of those plans were focused on wolf recovery. And so it talked about trying to grow those populations. How do we deal with conflict in certain situations and things like that? But as we know, the wolf population has grown and has recovered. And that's where this new plan comes into place.
One big factor in some ways out of Wisconsin's control, whether or not the gray wolf is currently listed as endangered in states like Wisconsin. This has gone back and forth over the years. Can you give us the latest and how it affects our wolf management plans here in the state?
Yeah, for sure. So we have our state management plans, but what we're talking about here is at the federal level, wolves have been mostly included on the federal list of endangered species over the last, several decades. It does go back and forth, but they are currently still on the federal endangered species list. And this has a lot of implications on wolves and wolf management in the state. Probably the two most impactful pieces are the availability of public harvest of wolves in the state, as well as lethal conflict abatement options in the case of livestock conflicts or things like that. So when they're on that federal list of endangered species, those options are off the table. And obviously when they're off the list, then those options become available.
Okay, so that's the background. Now bring us into this new plan just approved by the Natural Resources Board. Could you talk about the guidelines, the goal range for wolves in the state, and why we arrived at these numbers?
Sure. Yeah. So this plan, kind of bringing it full circle, it really moves our management program, our management focus into kind of alignment with where the population's at today. And that is, it recognizes that the population has biologically recovered, and it outlines, the management program for a recovered species. This includes, things like our conflict program, potential wolf hunting seasons, as well as a lot of other things like public education and research needs and collaboration, things like that. A big part of any management plan is trying to outline, what the population is going to look like, how many, where in the state, those types of things. And through this process, we've moved away from identifying a specific number of wolves as our management goal, and instead are focused more explicitly on, basically the things people care about, things like ensuring there's a healthy population, but also being responsive when conflicts arise. And we've outlined a process called adaptive management, which we can talk more about, but we've outlined in the plan that through this adaptive management process, we expect the wolf population to range somewhere in this 800 to 1200 overall statewide population size, but recognize it can be really variable depending on where you're at in the state.
Talking to Randy Johnson with Wisconsin DNR, large carnivore specialist there, looking at a new wolf management plan. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions about this new plan. Do you have wolves in your part of the state? Do you see interactions between humans, livestock, pets, and wolves that worry you? Or do you think we're at a pretty good level right now? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Randy, let's dig into that phrase you mentioned, adaptive management. What does that mean when we're talking about Wisconsin wolves?
Sure. In a word, it basically means continuing to learn from what we're doing and get better at what we're doing. So implementing different management actions, whether we're talking about hunting seasons and how the population responds to things like the conflict abatement program. How effectively are we reducing conflict and helping those that need assistance, as well as the population itself, continuing to monitor and ensure that it's a healthy and sustainable population. It's an ongoing process. We implement these different actions, monitor, review, and ultimately try to improve as we move forward.
There have been concerns raised, I think, especially in parts of northern Wisconsin, that the wolf numbers, some people say, are too high, worries about depredations on pets and livestock. They're worried that the numbers that are going to be maintained here are too high and will lead to more of those conflicts. Can you talk about how you assess those arguments and weigh those?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's been a huge component of this process is, how do we balance out all the different desires and perspectives related to wolves? And no question, wolves can and do cause some conflicts. And often those conflicts, those impacts, if you will, are disproportionately, felt by those living and working and recreating among wolves, and in our case, in northern Wisconsin. So it's important to recognize that and try to work towards improving that situation. But at the same time, the science and in our own data, our experiences show that generally speaking, some of these conflicts are not well correlated with the overall statewide number of wolves. And this comes back to their biology. They live in packs and territories which occupy, certain spaces. And certain packs can learn to cause issues with livestock or pets, whereas most packs don't. And so having the ability to deal and resolve with those conflicts, where they're occurring at those locations, is the most effective way ultimately to try to reduce some of those issues. Whereas, again, most of the packs don't get into those issues. So it's having that site-specific abatement, which is a really important tool.
Bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. John is with us in Milwaukee. John, hi.
Hey there.
What'd you want to bring up?
I was just going to ask how many conflicts we have record of in Wisconsin. How many of these, I would assume they're wolf attacks on livestock. How many of those do we know about?
John, thanks for the call. Randy, what do we know about reported numbers of wolf depredations, I think they're called, on livestock?
Yeah, sure. So this year we've had a little over 100 total reported complaints. And when we get a reported complaint, we work with our partners at USDA Wildlife Services to send out a trained biologist to investigate, look for the clues, the tracks, et cetera, and verify whether or not wolves were involved. And typically about 3/4 of the time they're verified as wolves. So this year, as of just a couple of days ago, we're at 77 verified complaints. Of those, a little over half, 2/3, are related to livestock, and the rest are hunting dog complaints.
John,
these numbers are generally on par with where we've been the last few years.
John, thanks a lot for that call. Randy, if it seems like, okay, in this area on these livestock farms, we seem to have a pattern of repeated attacks on livestock. What kind of tools are there to deal with that? And I guess we should answer in two circumstances. If wolves are considered an endangered species federally, which they currently are, and if they're not, which who knows, maybe next year they won't be.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So we unfortunately do see these situations arrive. We call them chronic farms, where they have repeated depredations or conflicts, repeated livestock being killed or harassed. And currently, with wolves being federally endangered or listed as federally endangered, we don't have access to the lethal controls. So we have non-lethal tools. We have financial compensation. You know, those non-lethal tools can range from anything from, you know, electric fencing, something called flagry, which is fencing related, to auditory flashing lights, those types of things. Anything that is a novel item introduced, you know, around these areas that makes wolves shy away. It can also be things like improved fencing, changing husbandry practices, some of those different, you know, behavioral changes, if you will. And all of these are kind of custom fit to the situation, to the farmer, producer, and also depends on if it's the first time something's happened or obviously if it's the 10th time something has happened. But in all of these cases, unfortunately, the non-lethal tools, wolves can become conditioned to these and they lose their effectiveness through time. And that's where the importance of the lethal controls comes in. There are certain cases where once wolves become conditioned, those non-lethal items lose their effectiveness. Sometimes the last step we can use is to lethally remove some of those wolves to get those conflicts to stop.
Talking to Randy Johnson, large carnivore specialist for the Wisconsin DNR. He's talking to us about the agency's new wolf management plan. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How would you like to see the wolf population in Wisconsin managed? Do you have questions about the DNR's new plan just approved by the Natural Resources Board here in Wisconsin? Join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts and questions about wolves here in the state. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about Wisconsin's new wolf management plan. Randy Johnson stays with us, large carnivore specialist for the DNR, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions about the state's new wolf management plan? Have you been following this story over the months, over the years? Do you have strong feelings one way or another about how we deal with wolves here in Wisconsin? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Go back to your calls now with Frank on the line in Springboro. Frank, hi, what did you want to bring up?
Yeah, you know, regarding the wolf population, I'm actually a local reporter up here. I've been covering issues about the wolves, and I've talked to, you know, Adrian Weiderman, some wolf experts, and, you know, the thing that always sticks out to me is that we're in Wisconsin, wherever you have a dominant wolf population, you don't have deer with chronic wasting disease. And I would think deer hunters would look at that and say, well, that's a good thing. That's what a healthy wolf population brings to, say, northern Wisconsin, and eliminates those deer that are sick or possibly sick, deer with chronic wasting disease. So I think managing a wolf population that eliminates sick deer is a good thing.
Frank, thanks a lot for the call. Randy, do you take that into consideration, managing Wisconsin's deer population as you're looking at the wolf management plan?
Yeah, that's definitely something on the table. what he's referring to is some, I guess, relatively recent research in the last 10 years or so that's kind of suggestive that large predators, including wolves, can be effective at identifying deer that are sick with chronic wasting disease and removing them off the landscape. And, you know, it stands to reason that may be helpful in the long term to help control the prevalence of CWD. Now, it's also fair to say that the research is ongoing in this, and the final scientific answer, if you will, is kind of still to be determined. But, you know, at the same time, it's been well established through the research that wolves are effective at helping maintain a generally healthier deer herd. And ultimately that's beneficial to both deer as well as hunters.
Thanks a lot for that call. Randy, I understand in some cases hunters have been concerned, well, if wolves are eating deer, are there fewer deer for me to hunt come hunting season, not too far off? How big an impact does that have?
Yeah, I mean, it really comes down to what scale we're talking about. On the statewide scale, you know, Wisconsin's deer herds are doing excellent. We've got lots and lots of deer in this state. So very little concern, very little impact at that population level. However, you know, at the very small scale, for example, some hunter on maybe a 40 acre parcel, you know, wolves can definitely impact the behavior of deer on that scale. They can change where they're at on the landscape. They can change their movement patterns, all kinds of different things. And these can definitely translate to, you know, impacts on deer hunting. And so, you know, not necessarily removing all the deer from the woods, to put it, you know, frankly, but they definitely can have their impact. But I think the same thing could be said for many things out there in the woods, right? Other hunters, vehicle, other recreators, all kinds of things. So it's kind of one more thing on the landscape that hunters need to be aware of and be adaptive to.
Let's go back to our callers. Bill is with us in Bayfield County. Bill, hi.
Hi. My question is, I'm completely blind. I can't see a thing. I can't see if the sun's shining. And I live right in the middle of Bayfield County. There are a lot of wolves in this county. And in fact, last fall, there was a male and a female that came up on the field behind my house, and they couldn't have been more than 150 yards away. What resources or tools would I have available? Because quite frankly, I'm concerned to go out of the house at night.
Bill, thanks for the call. Sorry about that's a worry. Randy, what do we know about safety of humans in places where wolves are prevalent?
Yeah, so it's always a concern, right? And people's comfort levels with wolves or really any wildlife, any carnivores, it varies person to person for sure. To be clear, we've never had a wolf attack on humans in modern times in Wisconsin. The times that has occurred in all of North America in the last 100+ years is I think, you know, less than 10 for sure. It's just a handful. That said, you know, there's still a large wild animal that deserves respect. And so it's important to keep that in mind as well. What we have for resources, in addition to some, you know, educational type things on our DNR website, is, again, partnering with USDA Wildlife Services. We have contact information posted on our website. Folks can call that at any time, 365, you know, days out of the year. And call to get assistance with such wolf conflicts. And that can range from all kinds of different things, just depending on the situation. But the best place is to call Wildlife Services and start that process to get the assistance you might need.
Thanks a lot for that call, Bill. Randy, before we run out of time, I want to ask about wolf hunting. I know a lot of people are concerned about that. Now, while the gray wolf is considered endangered here in Wisconsin at the federal level, no wolf hunt. But if that changes, I believe state statute requires a wolf hunt. How does that all fit into this management plan?
Yep, that's exactly right. If and when wolves become delisted in the future, state law requires Wisconsin to implement a wolf season. And so a big focus of this updated and new wolf management plan is addressing that reality. You know, looking at what would a future season look like as far as implementation, how can we improve it? How can we make sure we meet state quotas? And what have lessons learned been during the past wolf seasons held in the state, both in as recently as 2021, but also there were three seasons held back in 2012, 13, and 14. So really outlining improvements to how those seasons will be implemented in the future and really just being ready, being prepared for if and when that change in legal status comes to make sure that we can set up a wolf season that is well run, well implemented, but also provides quality opportunity for those that want to participate, all while trying to meet our management objectives and ensure that the wolf population itself remains healthy.
Let's go back to our callers. Rana is with us in Cameron. Rana, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm excited to get the answer to this question. I have been wondering what first started in Wisconsin, what first started us trying to control populations of particular animals, wildlife? What was the kickoff animal and what were the circumstances and why did we do this, and how did it grow and evolve?
Rana, thanks for the call. That's a huge question for our last couple of minutes, Randy, but do you have thoughts on the history of why we for some species have this in-depth management plan?
Well, that's a good question. We, you know, from the DNR's perspective, we have management plans for some species and certainly not all. But I think with high profile species such as wolves, we have a black bear management plan. We have, I believe, turkey. We have a handful of management plans, and we're looking to develop more. You know, in today's world, there's a lot of competing interests, both from the human side on wildlife, but also making sure these populations stay healthy. You know, there's obviously a lot of ecological benefits. There's a lot of impacts to humans through agricultural damage, things like that. And so this is kind of the department's way, if you will, of trying to outline these programs, the objectives, the goals, the strategies, and trying to capture this in something that is digestible ultimately to the public and gives us some good direction. And then again, of course, continuing to update these as the decades move on to stay effective in an ever-changing world.
Rana, thanks for the call. In our last half a minute or so, Randy, now that this plan is approved, what happens next?
In the immediate, the short term here, we're taking the document and we're providing some final formatting. And so we're hoping to have a final document to post on our website and share broadly very soon. And then, you know, we'll get to the business of implementing the plan. I think one of the first steps that we'll look to do is bring together a wolf advisory committee, which includes stakeholder groups, tribal participants, or representation, DNR staff, and a wide variety of folks to, you know, start to get to the business of implementing this plan. And of course, all the while keeping an eye on that federal status, if and when a change might occur at that level.
Randy, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
That's Randy Johnson, a large carnivore specialist at the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. He talked to us today about the state's new wolf management plan. I'm Rob Ferret. Stick around. There's more to come on Central Time. This is the Ideas Network.